yeah, if you start hacking it, you have a vibro, a giant vibro sword, a giant demon sword, about 1 million pounds of muscle, and then there's a juicer over here with a magic hammer that evaporates material. That shouldn't be too hard to get done.
Okay.
I think you can do this. A couple of seconds of good work, and you've managed to chop this thing down. Purple magic sparks go everywhere. The gorilla shifts from a resting position to like a sort of collapsed weight down position. And you can vaguely hear some sort of alarm going off from inside the truck stop. And this is the first thing the cats react to negatively.
That's fine.
Some of them startle, some of them start like meowing angrily at it.
At the alarm?
Yes.
Okay, so these are friends.
One of them pushes a cup of water off the top of this roof that was somehow there. They're not happy. Gug, you hear a magical explosion from above you and sort of well off to one side. Probably 20, 30 yards off to one side because truck stops are enormous.
I mean, I'll go investigate. That's weird.
Okay. You see probably just Goro because Tink is tiny. Unless Tink used his hammer to like discontinue part of the rooftop, in which case you probably see Tink falling to the earth.
No, I'm mostly focused on monkey adjacent things. Gorilla adjacent things.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to confuse Gug by bringing up monkeys.
I was confused.
As you make your way around that corner of the truck stop, sort of towards the front end, Gug, give me perception or awareness or whatever it is in the system that I still haven't managed to learn the terminology of somehow.
I think you mean persuasion.
I almost want to yes and you, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, notice. Awesome. You see nothing. You hear nothing.
Well, I am more focused on the cats, right? Like, I am not homesick per se, but like, right, this reminds me of, the invasive species that's ruining our native aquaculture.
Okay.
Because we're octopuses, so they'd have to be aquatic cats.
Oh, God. That's even better. All right.
Sea cats.
Okay.
Or sea lions.
All right. The alarm. The alarm is not very loud, and vaguely is coming from what you would assume is maybe the endpoint of, or very near the endpoint of that cable that is going into the truck stop through the front doors. There's like a pair of those,
Is there like an off switch?
I mean, not that you can see from here.
I mean, I just walk in and start flipping switches.
Oh, so you walk in?
Yeah, sure. Like, there's nothing, there's no trap here, right? Like, I would have noticed it, and there was nothing.
All right, so you open the doors, the door of this truck stop to move through, and the doors are sort of wedged partway open anyway, like over the cable. They have those sort of the two glass and metal doors that swing towards each other at the front of all these places, right? And the cable is running right down the middle of them, so the door never quite shut and leaves a space almost exactly the right width for a cat to go through, actually, on top of this cable. And as you open it up, you go inside, and it looks like, I don't know how familiar Gug would be with the classic American highway truck stop, but for those of us who live in this century on this continent, that's what it looks like. Only, it looks like it was in service like 300 years ago. And has been very marginally tidied up since then. And then about 200 cats were poured into it.
But they can leave, right? They're not like contained within this structure.
Give me another perception roll. Gug specifically, right now. Gug.
Does Gug have a sense of smell?
That's what I was about to... we're going to find out.
Okay.
We're going to find out. No.
I swear to God.
Gug does not have a sense of smell. Gug lacks, Gug lacks olfactory senses based on that number that I'm seeing.
Why am
right
I
there.
Taking penalties to my dice rolls? Because
you have a wound, dude.
How do I unwound?
You need rest. Or, you know, magic healing, but I think you're beyond the point where magic healing can work, so...
Well, we should probably be longer than an hour since we took the wounds.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yes, that's correct. It's gold.
Well, and also, like, we healed any, because, like, no time has passed, really, in the game.
Well, it's been 45 minutes, so...
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, you get one natural healing check every 7 days.
Yeah. I mean, you do. Actually, you do. You're even more durable.
Perdicione has to actually expend magic power to heal himself for natural healing.
Yeah.
Sucks to suck.
The downsides of being a magic board. Anyway, shelves. Some of them containing very, very, very old magazines. There's coolers in the back with soft drinks and not so soft drinks. There's like a beer cave. The cable seems to be leading back into the beer cave.
I mean, I investigate. Maybe I grab a beer, right? Like, I'm already injured. What is being intoxicated?
All right. So you push back towards, and you're noticing the cats are thicker in here somehow, even than outside. Right? There's so many cats. The point where you have to like. They are having to move out of the ways of your tentacles as you ambulate. And you push through the plastic sheet with the slits cut in it that is the traditional front end of the truck stop beer cave.
While holding a beer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just making sure.
Following this cable in, and you push through and you come... Eye to on your face, with a humanoid figure in some weird looking armor who is holding a clipboard and has a really intense mask on that is hard to see through.
Okay, are there like, does the mask remind me of anything? Like, can I place? What the mask might be of?
Give me
Is it a cat?
It's not a cat. It's not a cat mask.
Well, that's weird. That would have been thematically appropriate.
It would have been, but it's not.
Man, it's like it'd be this dangerous. Gentleman. It'd be super villain.
This gentleman right here with the or very similar with the armor that also kind of looks like a robe, and then the mask with the weird insect eyes and the pokey parts on the pot top.
Hey, and like Cthulhu, you've got face tentacles.
Cthulhu face mouth, yeah.
I dig the mouth, buddy.
Somehow, the Cthulhu face mouth is not registering the surprise and shock that you are getting psychically from this individual.
Okay. Does this mask read Space Nazi or Rift Nazi, whatever the phrase is?
It does not read Rift Nazi. It does read to you a little bit, I'm going to give you this one for free. This was what
If you'd like me to roll again, I've got another zero, like handy.
Nice. This is the not corpse that you left at the landing site looked like. I'm just going to put that out there for reference. This one bears some similarities, but is obviously a different kind of armored weirdo.
Gotcha. So, hey, I'm sorry to intrude. You've got many lovely cats. I just want to let you know that we returned your cyber monkey. Sorry. Your mecha gorilla. And, it took some damage. I had some other questions for you, but also like
as you're talking, do you have
like a med kit or something? Yeah.
As you're talking, this person is backing away from you deeper into the beer cave, and you notice that there's like a lot of magic looking machinery in here. And you also notice, well,
let's not use the word notice, because that implies that I noticed. Oh, I may have noticed something this time.
Okay. Here's what you notice.
Did I finally realize this person is trying to kill me?
No, because at this point, they are not, in fact, trying to kill you yet. But as they back away from you, you notice that there are there's this cable. There's a bunch of machinery attached to it, tubes and crystals and glowing nonsense, and some of it looks more tech, some of it looks more magical. But at the back, you see that there are what appear to be, they're about 2 feet long and about a foot wide, but they're very clearly like broken, like unfolded cylinders. And sitting inside these cylinders is cat food. And you see along the back wall, there's just a stack of those same cylinders. But they're cylinders.
Cylinders of cat food?
No, it's like, I'm trying to think of what the if you could like unroll a cylinder, right? And these look like techno cylinders, right? They got like caps on each end that have like beveling, and there's and so the cat food is like in the middle of the unfolded cylinders. It's not a cylinder of cat food, it's a cylinder with cat food on it.
So it's a trap. It's like the things you put out to relocate raccoons.
Yes. That would be a completely reasonable thing to, like a reasonable touchstone for anyone but Gug. I don't know where Gug's coming from, but yes.
Yeah, so we have something similar, right? But we use those, because they're invasive species turned delicacies, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the equivalent of crab pots where I come from.
Okay, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, like, I'll go ahead and follow that to the logical conclusion. So, do we eat these guys? I'd really never had a taste for it.
He still is not vocalizing anything to you, but he sort of picks up one of the tubes, and he does the "I'm gonna show you what this is" sort of wave, right?
Okay.
And then he reaches behind him on the wall, while like still facing you, he's reaching behind himself to grab another larger tube behind him.
Okay. Do now I remember he's trying to kill me? Like,
I mean, you can make whatever assumptions you want. You did from the last guy, so who am I to stop you now?
Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and we're gonna play this totally like, yeah, this is a normal conversation that a horrible squidipus is having between themselves and a cat eater while drinking a beer.
Okay, so he reaches behind himself. What are the other two doing? I want
to right. And then we cut to Tink and Goro. You hear an explosion from downstairs.
So yeah, actually, here's what happens with Tink and Goro. Right,
it's traditional to exchange explosions off screen.
Yeah.
No, you are. I imagine you're coming like down from the platform, right?
I mean, have we thoroughly trashed the platform?
Yes, the platform is garbage. It's utterly destroyed. As you're coming down, or while you're up there, it's up to you. Both of you give me, because you both have magical senses of some sort, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me notice real quick, just kind of as a catch-all. I want to see how close you see this coming.
This sword is so really annoying me.
The sword is really distracting you with this whole cat eating idea. Yes.
Well, now you're thinking, maybe they would taste good. Never mind.
Tink, you are admiring your handiwork as Goro finishes bashing the last bit out of this platform. Mm-hmm. And you feel a disturbance in the force, is I guess the best way to say it, right? Something around you has shifted almost, but not quite metaphysically. And it is from the direction that Gug walked towards you from.
Well, I'm going to go that direction and find out what's happening.
Okay. Are you informing Goro, or are you just wandering off?
No. Like, I'm not hiding it in any way. Things just distracting, like, oh, hey. Huh, and then walks off.
Alright.
I'm saying is Tink respects the cats because Tink understands the cats.
So you move in that direction, and the feeling is not sustained. It feels like a thing happened and then it's done.
Okay.
Right? But you felt it very strongly. Like, you have good reason to think that this is a thing that is a legit thing that you felt, but it's not there anymore. And as you start walking this direction, around that corner that Gug came out, you are a figure sprints in your direction, not at you, but towards you, and rams into you.
That's rude.
And it is this figure right here.
Ooh, ooh.
Or one very similar to it.
Wait, a faceless cowboy?
They are... That is a cactus person.
Oh.
That is a cactus person. In Rifts, there is a species of people, of dimensional beings that resemble cactuses, and they are... They're just...
And they dress like cowboys, because of course they do.
Well,
because
they live in the Western United States. Of course they do. Of course they do. Also, fun fact, they have to be constantly on guard against other types of people, because apparently they are delicious. Because their insides are like a cactus's insides.
Which are also delicious.
Look, if you cook it up okay, cactus is okay, but it's not, like, a delicacy.
Well, yeah, but they're also a source of water, essentially.
Right? Yeah.
See, that I could believe. Gross, but believe.
And this person is actually about your size, Tink.
Okay.
And he slams bodily into you, and you don't move. You barely move.
I was going to say, my next question is, do I care?
He hits you, and he goes, like, stumbling backwards. His hat goes flying off. It looks like that scene in a Western where, yeah, somebody came around the corner, accidentally bumped chest with, like, the biggest badass in town that nobody wants to gunfight, right?
So, like, just the whole thing with Tink occasionally acting like a horror movie monster, like, the first thing that pops into my head is, you're running the wrong way. See, they look mean there. Anyway.
So.
So, like, yeah, Tink is kind of like, he's going to steady him, like, sort of grabbing him, easily misinterpreted, and really is going to say, you know, you're running the wrong way. And just kind of keep him on his feet. Not exactly being hostile, but it's Tink, so it could easily come across as...
Yeah.
Yep.
He will look you in the eyes. And I don't know how much familiarity, because these are, yes, they are like plant people.
Yep.
But they're not like magical plant people. They're just
most importantly,
evolved on a different plane of existence plant people. Yeah.
I think cacti are New World plants anyway, so like Tink wouldn't be very familiar with them if they're off.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yep. So he makes eye contact with you, and he registers that you exist. He pulls himself back from you. He brushes off his, like, the dust on his pants, picks up his hat, doffs it to you, and then runs past you and sort of, like, gives you a very weak shove in the back towards the direction he was going. And he is just cooking.
Do you know what's the funniest part of this for me is the fact that he showed civility means, okay, we're all good. Tim keeps going the way he was going.
Alright, you make it around, so as you get to the corner, the actual corner that Gug and this cactus person came around, there's a scent of ozone in the air.
Alright.
Tink has some occult knowledge, right?
Yeah, a bit. I think Tink's been trained a lot. It doesn't take real well.
And then but he still sucks at it. Tink, give me a knowledge roll here for that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So. No, Tink's got nothing. That's a two. Yeah, you clear around this corner and you don't know what you're about to walk into. And what you walk into is, so you know Gug, right?
Mm-hmm.
You come around this corner and standing about 30 feet down this alleyway, moving your direction at a somewhat languid pace, holding a cat in each of two separate tentacles,
mm-hmm.
is Gug, but you would guess bigger. It's hard to tell with their physiology. And it is magenta. Head to toe magenta.
Like, do I think this is a different Vernulian? Or do I think he's, like, magically different colors?
This is not Gug. I am using Gug as a reference point for...
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I think Tink takes a moment to go, wait, that's not Gug. Like, wait, is it? No, okay, it's not Gug. no, I don't know. Octopuses change color. Hey?
There's a slurping noise, and one of the cats is gone, and the Vernulian continues moving towards you at sort of, again, a fairly languid pace, and with the tentacle that's now no longer holding the cat, there is a sense of, like, psionic capacitance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I just realized what Tink's gonna do. He's gonna look at him and go, wait, is that Doug? Two Vernillions. That's what I know.
So, no.
He says it.
the snake-topus head sort of tilts very slightly in recognition that it heard what you said and is puzzling through it while it charges up some sort of weapon and brings it to bear.
Alright, fine, we'll all fight, we can fight. So far, Vernulians have been far more polite.
Goro, what are you doing?
After finishing venting a bit of anger on the cable, I think Goro's going to look around trying to figure out where Tink wandered off to. I don't know, just pick a random edge of this platform to hop down off of.
Okay. Yeah. You see the cactus person running underneath the platform, essentially, mm-hmm. while you're looking around for Gug. Yeah, you can jump off anywhere.
I guess just heading towards the are there other buildings around us, or is it just this gas stop in the middle of nowhere?
There are, like, other buildings associated. Like, there's, like, the fuel storage area and that kind of thing, but this is, like, an Ohio truck stop that's sort of,
okay,
like, the if not the lone edifice on the edge of town, it's one of two truck stops on the edge of town, right?
Okay. So yeah, I guess I'll just hop down in the direction of the main lobby area of this gas stop.
Okay. All right. You see the same things that that I was describing earlier for Gug. Lots of cats. A little bit of like tidying up on the inside, like someone wanted to clear a pathway maybe, or they had to move some stuff to lay this big cable down. And then from the back of the, like from the beer cave, right, you see a significant purple flash, and there is a smell of like the air during a thunderstorm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Gug.
Slightly bigger Gug here.
Yeah, so this armored figure reached behind himself, pulled a larger tube that humans would recognize. Looks something like, I don't know. Similarities would probably be like a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. Or like a recoilless rifle, maybe, or the touchstone in my head is, you remember that like Super Nintendo like rifle blaster thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. My God, that thing's wild.
Oh, the Super Scope. Yeah.
Looks like one of those, but it's big enough that he just shoves that that cat container into the breach. And sort of raises it towards you. What do you do?
I mean, my previous experience with these people is that they're nonviolent, right? Like, so I'm gonna play the bit until the end, right? Like, no, we're violent. We attack people, and it's like, no. Okay, I was like, all right, that's weird, but like, is it like a viewfinder? Like, I can, you know, answer questions for you. Do you speak hominid? How about, I try like four other different languages. I try French, I try Elven. I'm going to roll persuasion to see if I can get him to talk to me.
Alright, sure.
Even in my wounded form, I rolled a 7.
Fuck. Fine. So, sorry, say again what you said, because I wasn't paying attention. I was planning on shooting you. What was the... What was the phrasing you were using here? I want to get this.
So, right. I said that's pretty cool. What is that? Is that some kind of viewfinder? You know, you don't need to like scan me. I can just talk to you. Do you speak hominid? And then I repeat that in like a few other different languages. Like, do you speak? Like, I'm happy to talk to you. Do you speak language? Like, I try French or I try Elven. I probably do a bad job of speaking Spanish.
Okay. There's a pause, and he brings the thing fully to his shoulder. He's sort of looking at you down it. Says, "Oh yes, this is a scanner. Nothing else. We're here collecting data. You don't need to worry about it." He starts pushing buttons, and there's like a distinct noise that comes from it. And you might hear just like a very, very faint sort of squish noise in the whole thing as the capacitor starts firing up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm kind of lost, and I was hoping that you could help me with some directions. We just want to get back to, dude, I don't even know what the name of this place is. We were trying to help out a friend, and then like some space Nazi showed up, and we killed a whole bunch of people, and then... Yeah, so we really want to, like, help out and, like, get back home. So, like, you could point me in the right direction of, Michigan?
North. Go north. He says, like, down the barrel right. of this gun.
All right, what do I do for the beer?
You're drinking that? Okay, you should...
Gug takes an obvious sip.
You should get that checked out.
I don't even have to shoot you. You're just going to be dead from fermentation poisoning.
If you leave right now, the beer's free.
All right. I turn around and I wave a tentacle on the way out. Like, all right. Peace.
Alright, so you exit the beer cave.
Yeah.
Goro is standing there.
Do I bump into Tink on the way in?
No. We're gonna get back to Tink. Don't you worry. Okay. as you make it to the very front of the beer cave, like, you're pushing yourself through this this curtain, this plastic curtain, right? You see Goro, and Goro's coming the other way, through the doors that you came in from. And Goro is, like, in full Goro stance. Goro has worked up a sweat, glistening in his violence, having destroyed this thing. Past Goro's shoulder, you can see a cactus man, a tiny cactus man in a cowboy hat, just screaming into the darkness as fast as his tiny cactus legs can carry him.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.